This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Well, now here's an interesting thing. Some numbers out over the weekend and today about manufacturing in this global economy. Chinese manufacturing is slowing a bit, been that way since December. Interesting and a bit surprising since the Chinese economy's been leading the way out of the virus slowdown. American factories, meanwhile, are on a relative tear, 9 straight months of growth after a truly terrible spring last year. All of which we mention because China has a well-earned reputation for giving its domestic companies a leg up, an unfair leg up, says most of the rest of the world. And seeing as how there is no sign that China is going to change, American politicians are increasingly saying, if you can't beat them, emulate them. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has today's economic policy story.
The Chinese government does a lot for its favored companies.
Free land, loans that never have to be repaid for the life of the loan.
Usha Haley is chair of international business at Wichita State University. The list goes on.
Subsidized raw materials, access to markets.
Haley says these kinds of subsidies for targeted industries have long been a core part of China's strategic development.
We have lost industry after industry to it.
And she says there may be more to come.
They're ramping up fast. Their sights are set on pharmaceuticals at this point. They're looking at high-tech products. They're looking at electronics.
Faced with that, politicians and industry leaders here are increasingly asking, why doesn't the U.S. do the same? The term for that, for strategic support of domestic industries, is industrial policy.
The phrase industrial policy has just been anathema in the halls of Washington for a long time.
David Autor is a professor of economics at MIT. He says many countries carefully plan out how to support their critical industries. The U.S. rarely does so.
The thrall of the idea that the market will sort it out and the government can only do harm by getting involved prevents thoughtful discussion or planning around these topics.
That is changing as China's rise has stoked a sense of urgency.
It's something we need to do now.
Matthew Goodman is senior vice president at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says industrial policy can take a lot of forms.
Uses government's role in investing in basic research and development and through its role as a purchaser of equipment and services and technologies to create markets where there might not otherwise be a market.
So how does that actually work? Well, take the vaccine, says Goodman.
It's questionable whether Pfizer would have been able to develop this vaccine without the advance purchase agreement that the U.S. government made, nor would it have been possible without basic research funded by the federal government into, you know, molecular biology.
The U.S. has thrown its support behind industrial development before. After Sputnik, the government bought the entire country's supply of integrated circuits for half a decade, single-handedly providing a market for a cutting-edge technology. Stephen Vogel chairs the political economy program at the University of California, Berkeley.
A lot of what we think of as, you know, Silicon Valley venture capital was actually originally some of the funding came from the U.S. government. We've also obviously had massive R&D programs in military technology.
In the 80s, when the U.S. semiconductor industry was threatened by Japan, the government relaxed antitrust rules and created a research consortium of manufacturers.
In 1990, we accounted for about 37% of global semiconductor production. Now we account for 12%.
John Neufer is president of the Semiconductor Industry Association.
Central governments all around the world give massive incentives to build semiconductor fabrication facilities or fabs. The U.S. government does not do that.
There's growing bipartisan support now to change that, and legislation being considered that would pour $100 billion into the National Science Foundation to develop new technologies of various kinds. But there are risks to industrial policy.
We can make mistakes, and the process becomes politicized very quickly.
Thomas Dusterberg is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. He says if the U.S. goes too far, it risks alienating allies it needs.
We're likely to set off a sort of competition with Europe and possibly other advanced nations on industrial policies.
Those are the same allies the U.S. will need as it confronts China. Still, Dusterberg agrees the U.S. should not sit idle on the question of its competitiveness and wealth. The U.S. may be one of the most advanced economies now, but history is littered with countries whose fortunes have changed. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.